Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Edward Marshall, and I have the privilege of joining you today with my colleague, Richard Perez, to give us his insights on what we've been seeing out there recently. Richard has 20 years of family office experience, most of it as a chief investment capacity for family offices. Most recently, he was at 40 North, where he was the chief investment officer there. At the Soros family office, he ran manager selection and external search, and he started off his career at Goldman Sachs Asset Management on the alternatives team. The purpose of today's call is to talk about thoughts and practical ideas that Richard has been talking about with some of the family offices that we cover. So with that, we'll get started. So Richard, it's been a very interesting past couple of weeks. Even today, we've had some incredible news, another pause in trading, the UK closing schools, closing the Canadian border, auto manufacturers setting people home, and the Defense Production Act put into place. What's going out there and what are you seeing out in markets?
Yeah, interesting to say the least, Eddie, and thanks everyone for joining the call. I know we're in challenging times, so appreciate you taking the time, and hopefully we can provide some insight and help as you navigate these difficult markets. We're seeing unprecedented volatility and sharp moves that you rarely see in markets. And as is often the case with crises, it came from an idiosyncratic event in this scenario, the coronavirus. Coming into the year, we're, despite having all-time highs, we're fairly constructive on the economy, on markets in general. But obviously, as the impact and the growth of the coronavirus throughout Asia and then later to the U.S., you saw sharp market moves. In our view, the initial moves are largely driven on fear, as we did not really know the extent of this. And you saw equities with their liquidity and also having grown so much in the previous few years, frankly, the last decade, serving as a bit of an ATM, seeing ETF flows a huge driver of this. And so the initial stages, the economic impact wasn't known, but certainly fear driving sell-offs in the equity market. However, as the seriousness and the severity of the virus and showed its face in Europe and subsequently in the U.S., we started to see the actual economic impact or the potential economic impact of the containment efforts. So as folks are staying home from work, as businesses are shuttering, as folks are no longer out on the streets, and frankly, wages are slowed for a lot of these folks, there is now real economic impact in the markets. And that is now what we are faced with today. And almost certainly a global recession is at hand in the coming quarters. And it leaves us wondering, what do we do in these markets? Equities have fallen to a level where, frankly, we feel that there is an opportunity to buy. But given the level of volatility, the uncertainty that still remains on the ultimate economic impact for businesses, it remains a period of time where we advise folks to be cautious. And that's what we're seeing from a lot of family offices. On the plus side, the response from the U.S. government in the last week or two with fiscal and monetary stimulus at an unprecedented level as a fuel to the economy going forward. Nonetheless, in the short term, the fear remains. The impact of those the stimulus is not immediate. And so it remains to be seen how this will flow over the course of the next few months. We think that there will continue to be volatility, periods of pain. And so while we do, and being thoughtful.
So you mentioned recession on a global scale. Where do you think that's going to start?
Well, certainly we're seeing in Europe where there's shutdowns in these countries and the economy is certainly not as strong in the U.S. and Asia are areas where we think that there's a recession. Goldman Sachs, I believe, came out with their view on the recession and there will be a slowdown in the U.S. Again, it's still early stage. Q2 earnings, Q3 earnings will be impacted. And a lot remains to be seen in what the numbers are actually on the coronavirus in terms of the spread in the U.S., the mortality rate. The subsequent, we know that those numbers will increase as testing is expanded on a broader scale. And what the impact will be on hospitals, all of these will not only have an impact economically, but certainly on the sentiment in markets, which will further add to volatility.
Is there a gauge that you're looking at right now, as you're looking at markets worldwide that seems to be more reliable than others?
I don't think there's any magic bullet or any specific gauge. The idea for me is, and having been in the seats of as a CIO of a family office, is to be vigilant, take in all the data as much as possible, understand the long-term views of the family, and understand what the risk tolerances are. But in the short term, understanding until there's certainty not to make large rash moves. But with respect to the indicators to look at, you continue to look at volatility, continue to monitor what flows look like, and continue to see what the responses of the governments have been.
So in the conversations that you've had with other family offices and institutional investors, is there a theme that you're seeing that families, or that they, these families and investors are using to sort of handle the current market volatility?
Sure. Well, one theme is concern, certainly, and just trying to be vigilant. With respect to uniform moves, there is, you know, it really does vary based on risk tolerance, the investment mandate, and existing allocations. As we all know, all family offices have different mandates and different approaches. Folks that have been heavily invested and little cash have certainly tried to build some cash reserves. Liquidity, I think, is paramount in these types of environments, so I think that's prudent. There are folks who have had cash on the sidelines and are considering and have started to buy back into markets. That has been a challenging experience as markets have continued to whipsaw. But even those who have added have done so at a moderate level. So I think the universal theme is this will pass. The U.S. Stimulus will take effect, but in the short term, proceed with caution. But on the margin, folks do think that there's a potential buying opportunity. But again, you're not seeing huge moves or high conviction moves made at this time.
So you've been in the seat a couple times during some of these crises. What immediate actions would you advise, and are you talking to families about today?
I think communication is first and foremost key. Sitting there on the markets, one can get your head down, but I think it's important to speak with principals, understand their concerns. Assessing liquidity is very important in these markets. Even if there is a buying opportunity, picking the bottom is often and usually a fool's errand, and it's trying to be a hero is not necessarily advisable in terms of finding when is the exact time to come in a full size. But being able to have liquidity and dry powder when the time comes is certainly the approach that I would take. But communicating that to principals, preaching patience, understanding the long-term views, seeing if their risk tolerances have changed, and kind of adapting to that, but also trying to communicate and reinforce what are the long-term views? Do we think that things have fundamentally changed, or do we think that this is a short to intermediate term volatile period of pain, but one that if you can ride through the markets and not be forced to sell at adverse times could benefit you down the road? And so I think that communication aspect has always been key, having that dialogue with the principals. And by the way, there are various principles, depending on the structure of the family offices. Various folks within the family will have different mandates. So allaying fears, being overly communicative, and also setting expectations of what could be the worst case scenario, and underscoring that, is that pain something that folks can tolerate?
So you talked about managing liquidity. What are some strategies that you're seeing families employ, and maybe some that you've employed yourself in the past?
Sure. Well, folks came into certainly this period with varying degrees of liquidity. So the folks who came in with excess cash, holding onto that cash, and maybe the folks that feel front-footed and want to dip their toe in the water, buying on dips is certainly something that folks have been doing in sectors or areas where they feel have been overdone and fundamentally will be strong on the heels of the recovery. Folks who don't have a ton of liquidity, assessing what are your capital commitments, what are your needs on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, I try to, during these crisis periods, try to outline a scenario where folks have enough cash on hand to live their lives, pay their expenses, but also fund their capital calls and commitments to their private equity investments, for example, for at least a year or two. I think that is prudent because at the end of the day, with this level of uncertainty, the unknowable extent of the coronavirus in terms of the impact and duration, having liquidity is paramount. So to the extent that you don't have it, folks have been employing shedding taking some money off the table on rallies, understanding that there will be volatility. So this is not a timing effort, but on some rallies, days like yesterday, some folks who don't have a lot of liquidity will take a bit off the table to have some in their reserves.
Well, where do you go? I mean, treasuries are yielding, you know, starting to yield close to zero.
It's a great point. Cash, certainly rates have been low for a while, and now they're basically zero. There are, you know, a variety of strategies. One that I found that has been interesting are these insurance, insured deposit programs that have FDIC insurance, and banks offer these with greater rates, certainly than the treasury rate, and can ultimately hold up to $100 million per client. So these are some of the strategies, an example of a strategy that folks can employ to understand that there's comfort, that there's no counterparty risk, that it's FDIC insured, but nonetheless provide you a better rate and is at your disposal when you do want to be front-footed.
So let's flip the table and look forward ahead and think about some sectors and strategies that as people are getting back into the market that you think they should consider.
Yes, it's a challenge to really have high conviction on these areas, but there's certain things that have either been oversold or we think have strength and can benefit from these environments. One area where myself and also other family office CIOs who I've talked to and folks in the market have been looking at are tech companies that have strong balance sheets, that have general monopoly type businesses that can withstand this period. There will be volatility, but ultimately aren't in danger of going out of business and could come out of this in a stronger position. Whether that's cloud companies, companies with cloud efforts like Microsoft or Amazon, you know, also companies that can take advantage of increased remote workplaces, whether it's Zoom or things of that nature. And these are folks who are stock pickers, so I'm not advocating necessarily going into specific stocks, but I think high quality names in sectors that should be able to benefit into the new world that we live in, I think that's an example. Some other areas that may be oversold, but right now are frankly quite volatile, are transport, travel, and leisure areas. Airlines continue to get hammered, hotels as well. These could be areas that have potential upside on the heels of this. In the short term, going into it is certainly perilous. Cruise lines, for example, are particularly perilous. But particularly with things like airlines and hotels, when business gets back to normal, the government has indicated as well that they will backstop or at least provide facilities for the airlines. I think these are areas that over time could be ones that are an opportunity to go long. But again, in the short term, certainly not advising doing anything rash or sizable. And then one last area, I think on the financial side, bank stocks have also been hurt quite a bit. But we've seen stocks down anywhere for big banks that are consumer-led businesses down from 30 to 60%. I think this is another area where, again, the U.S. having cut rates and opening up facilities, these firms will capitalize and on the heels of this downturn should be able to benefit.
So, I mean, you talked about it before in terms of it's very challenging to pick a bottom and find something there. And there are no sort of silver bullets out there to determine when we get into that territory. What are some things that you would be looking for as we fast forward that would signify that it might be time to start to get to leg back in?
Yeah, it's hard to know exactly what the inflection points are, but I think first and foremost, more information is coming. So being mindful of the data that comes through both on the company side, but also once testing is more widespread, what is the impact on the U.S. in terms of coronavirus infections, folks who are in the hospitals, what is going on in the hospital side? Are they overflowing? Are we able to handle it? Are we facing an Italy-like situation? If it's something drastic in that scenario, patience is key because there will continue to be volatility. I think once you start to see this, the tide stem a bit, if we start seeing data like we see in Korea, that might be a time where there's more stability in markets and maybe a sign that there's more comfort going into markets. But even in those scenarios, I think the likelihood of getting in too early and facing quite a bit of volatility is higher and the cost is higher than being a little late to a recovery, which in all likelihood will not be as sharp a V-shaped recovery given the economic impact of the reaction to the virus.
Great. And last question before we open it up to Q&A is really lesson learned. I mean, you've sat in the seat with family offices and with large institutions and before. What are some lessons learned and things that you did in the past specifically that really were helpful and maybe the teams that you're working with were helpful to get through times like this in similar instances?
Well, I think first, trying to remain calm in these markets and trying to be vigilant, not making rash decisions, easier said than done. But I think folks who can keep their wits about them can have an open dialogue with their principals so that they are calm and they are comfortable with the approach being taken and have patience. I think that is key because ultimately, trying to time markets with this level of volatility is almost impossible. But being level-headed once the dust settles, I think that is where you can take advantage. Looking back post-2008, we saw some folks rashly redeem from funds or reduce their allocations very quickly on the heels of the drawdown and ultimately did not come back in time and, were hit on both sides. And even folks who came out early, coming back in at the right time was a challenge for many folks, so they missed the upside. So I think trying to keep your wits about you, trying to have a plan in place saying, hey, these are certain levels where we feel certain data points get hit, certain levels get hit, we'll start to ease back into the market and do it gradually. I think that is the best approach. In terms of other lessons learned, I would say trying to be thoughtful and think ahead and saying, on the heels of this, where are there areas that there could be opportunity? So, and these can be more thematic in nature and macro in nature, and it's not to make huge macro bets, but maybe tilt the portfolio in directions that make sense. In 2011, you know, there were opportunities post a bit of a downturn in markets on the heels of Obamacare, for example. When we were at Soros, we recognized, hey, there might be an opportunity in healthcare. Stocks had been hit, but we thought there were tailwinds post Obamacare could be helpful in healthcare. So that was an example where you can maybe tilt the portfolio. You know, now on the heels of this, what are the areas could be there? There could be opportunity, whether it's travel or leisure, banks, et cetera. Try to be mindful of the data. Try to take in as much information as possible and be front-footed if you have the liquidity and the patience.
Great. So as I mentioned before, we'll open it up to questions. If you've got questions, we'll unmute the line here real quickly. I have one question from the field, and we'll start with that one. Is legging into this market with existing cash at 20%, you know, starting tomorrow, too aggressive?
Well, I think, again, the starting point for these decisions is the risk tolerance and the mandate for the principals. So I think depending on how long a term view folks have will color how aggressive to be. I don't think there's specific levels of what cash should be, and also the cash needs of the principal is very important. What I would say is legging in is not necessarily too aggressive. However, legging in at this point, one has to be aware that there will be tremendous volatility and likely pain. Markets can go down further. They may come, this may be a bottom, but there will be volatility. So I don't think that coming in and feeling like this is a bottom is the right mindset. Coming in and saying, hey, we are comfortable that we can ride out these markets and understand there's going to be volatility and potential pain. If that is the ethos and the mindset of the family, then, and the risk tolerance, frankly, then I don't think it's necessarily too aggressive, but I would not do anything in large size, and I would still maintain a healthy bit of cash. And what healthy means really varies for folks, because there are folks with more than 20%, but have tremendous capital call, capital calls on the horizon. And with all the dry powder that private equity companies have, you may see a lot of capital calls at the end of the year. And so that whatever that cash number is on an absolute basis will vary, but doing that assessment is important.
Great, opening up to questions on the line.
May I ask a question?
Please, go ahead.
I was speaking with a client this morning who was saying, this is just 2008 all over again. And if you can survive the concern and fear, and if you can hold on to some liquidity and not sell as we're going down, this will rebound. But I don't recall 2008 having restaurants and bars and movie theaters shuttered, and I don't recall this sort of impact on travel and small businesses. What's your advice for a principal or a client who is saying that this is 2008, we just need to wait and come on up?
Well, I would say there's certain, you know, there's certain analogs. 2008 in terms of the violence and volatility of the moves, but what's driven this is very idiosyncratic. And so while there was certainly a lot of peril and, risk to the entire financial system in 2008, which I think looking back in hindsight, folks don't remember how challenging it would have been to come in and size at that point. So I think one, you know, the rebound in hindsight looks quite easy to call. It was not necessarily as easy in kind of the throes of the downturn. But there are substantial differences. We do not really know the impact of the coronavirus here in the U.S. and globally. So we do not know what the numbers will be, what the impact will be to the healthcare systems. And to your point, businesses are shutting down and folks are not out on the streets, buying things, conducting business as usual. So there are substantial differences, which the impact we will not know and is unknowable right now. But what it does mean to me is that there will be extreme volatility and patience is very important. So, you know, people ask, can you leg in? I would say it's not necessarily a bad strategy, but having long duration, if you're going to do that, is paramount. But even if you are legging in, still keeping cash on hand to me is very important because we do not know how long it will be this volatile or where the bottom will be. And a lot of the reasons are the points you made.
Definitely different on the consumer side.
Absolutely.
So question from the messenger is, you know, in terms of hedging, I mean, are there hedges that, you know, that family offices should consider, and are there any effective ways to consider it as they're looking to manage some of the downside, continued downside?
Hedging is challenging right now. Certainly, there were some families that we spoke to that had, you know, puts in place at the end of the year, not enough to handle this. And, you know, those have paid off, and some didn't roll them over because there was no anticipation of these moves. And then on the heels, once the move started, volatility spikes so much that the cost-benefit of this is kind of questionable. And not knowing where a bottom is, it's really hard to know. It's really hard to pull a trigger on very expensive optionality. Shorting is also a challenge. So I think for me, hedging is more challenging, particularly given the volatile nature of this. I think liquidity is more key. So I would say cash is a better hedge, frankly, to the extent that you have it.
Another question from the field, you know, what about principals that, you know, are feeling a bit uneasy and with this, and they're, you know, potentially changing some of their risk tolerance given all the news that's out there? How would you address this, and how have you addressed this in the past, you know, in helping them stick to a long-term game?
I would say risk tolerances can change, and by the way, sometimes healthily. Some folks out on the heels of a 10-year bull market, some folks thought it was much easier than you know, the reality, and also did not understand what the true risk could be to an equity downturn. So a change in risk tolerance doesn't necessarily mean a negative thing. However, I think there is a tendency to overreact. So from going, if we're equity heavy and now having zero equity is a change in risk tolerance, I think the key is to communicate, talk about cycles, look at past analogs of big drawdowns and the power of staying in the markets where you can. So I think changing slightly risk tolerances could be healthy, but trying to discuss past downturns, trying to discuss inflection points going forward and the power of staying in the market over time, I think makes sense. Also, risk tolerance could change, but there's not easy places for yield right now either. So I think equity markets will still over time be a great place to be, but in the short term, it will be volatile. And so understandably, some principals may want to trim, but I think preaching that long-term game is important.
Great. And let's unmute the line, see if we have any other questions from folks that are dialed in.
Richard, Eddie, I have a question.
Yep.
How, and we didn't cover too much on this call other than yields are low, interest rates are low, and this will impact the consumer, but can you make a comment on how the equity markets, how this potentially could become a systemic problem, and what impact you foresee potentially on the credit markets?
Yes, you know, certainly if the economic activity slows to a level that's protracted for a long period of time and it's global, this will continue to have strain. The U.S. has put in stimulus, but there's not a lot of bullets left on the monetary side in terms of cutting rates. So we are certainly can be in a precarious situation at this extent for a protracted period of time. And, you know, I would say be mindful in the credit markets, high yield markets, et cetera. We're also seeing disconnects as ETFs have flown out on the underlying versus the liquid markets. So there are periods of stress. And again, it's a period why I would not make any bold calls on a bottom. It's one where I preach caution, frankly. But you're right, there can be contagion. How that looks really varies in markets. I do think that the U.S. response and the global response of injecting liquidity, the banks are better capitalized than they were, and certainly in 08, can help mitigate that. But again, ultimately, you know, we have to continue to look at the data. And right now, I would not expect that to be a high risk, but it's certainly something you have to continue to adapt to as more information comes forward.
Great. I think any other questions from the audience?
Hi, can I just jump in real quick? I have a quick question. I joined on late, so I'm not sure if you covered this, but I've been doing a little research, and it seems like there's a lot of companies that are lending to B and C commercial malls and real estate. I was wondering if you have any thoughts in terms of if there's a way to short CMBS, because it appears that they're in danger. C-rank real estate's in danger.
Yeah, no, I've seen some of that data. I have not, and I'll be frank, I haven't looked at closely at specifically shorting those. I know historically that has been challenging to do. There are no easy liquid ways to do it. So I apologize for not having specifics on that, but I'm certainly happy to follow up on that. But I think it's a challenge to actually implement a short, certainly in kind of a timely manner. But I could look into that, but right off the top of my head, I don't know.
Great, and we can follow up with you individually. I'll hand out an email right now, and this is an email for that you can contact Richard. It's familyoffice@bostonprivate.com. It's familyoffice@bostonprivate.com.
Another one area also I wanted to mention that, you know, folks have asked about, and I think there will be an opportunity down the road, is distress. Folks have been waiting for a distress cycle for some period of time. But again, right now, is, you know, in my seat, having allocated the funds, what I would potentially do is look at the folks and have an idea of who are the managers or the folks that I'd like to implement distress strategies on, but wait till a more stable period to put that to work. But I do think that there will be a distress cycle on the heels of this. And what the timing is, I'm not sure, but that's another thing to kind of start exploring, to be front-footed again when the time comes.
Great. I think we have time for one more question from the field. Okay, I'll take that as our close. So thank you again, Richard. Really appreciate your commentary on there and some of the insights you provided. There's certainly some trying times out there, and I know a lot of family offices and family office CIOs are going to be tested by how they react over the next couple of weeks and months to what's going out in the market. As I mentioned before, if we can never make Richard available or a member of our team available, we'd be happy to do that. You can find our website out at bostonprivate.com/family office. It's bostonprivate.com/family office. Or if you just want to drop us an email, we're happy to do that as well. It's familyoffice@bostonprivate.com. We're happy to set up one-on-one calls with Richard and other members of our team to look at all the different things that you're looking at, you know, including your portfolio and beyond, liquidity management strategies and things that we're considering and talking to other families about. And with that, I really appreciate everyone's time today. And thanks again, Richard.
Thank you, guys.
Bye now.